What's going on, everybody? Jesse here from Flyers Alley. Just want to thank all of our wonderful sponsors of Old City Sports Network, Fanatics, Row One Brand, Norse Beards, Righteous Felon Jerky, Sterling Pig Brewery, Neshaminy Creek Brewing, Hangman Brewing, and Bright Path Brewing. If it wasn't for them, there wouldn't be an Old City Sports Network. You can find all their links in the description, all the promo codes you can use are in our description. Thanks, everybody.
Was expanding from 6 to 12 teams, I thought that it would be great to apply for a franchise.
Here's Jack Hughes again. He spins, throws it, trucks, scores! This year, leading the NHL, and so here we go. Laurier tried to get the initial right in. Now, a little left jabs and a right cross. It might have grazed his skin. Watson, a body blow. And there's a right cross. Watson with that back kick to Laurier to catch Watson. And Watson's in. Great back up, takes another right. Laurier got another right in. Another right. And down.
Wolfman, Barron, and Rappling. Well, that is all. Out at Ben Wilson. Well, Ben Wilson's really getting some good right hands in on Hawkins.
What's going on, everybody? Jesse from Flyers Alley, along with me as always, Gummy Wade, and the newest addition to Flyers Alley, Kyle Warner. What's going on, fellas? How you guys doing?
Another day in paradise. The off-season blues continue.
Yeah, it's getting ridiculous. I love it a little bit, but the constant scenarios are kind of outlandish, if you will. Wait, how you been doing?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Friday, I bit the fuck out of my tongue, tearing into some beef jerky, you know. So if I talk like I'm mentally ill, because I'm not allowed to use that word anymore. My bad.
Yeah. Well, keep that in mind, I guess. With that being said, before we jump into this, make sure you guys go and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/FlyersAlley, on Twitter at FlyersAlleyPod1, and Instagram at FlyersAlley. Make sure you go subscribe to the YouTube, Old City Sports Network. The landline's on. I'm not doing the whole thing. We're going to jump. Oh, we already got a comment. Let's see. Ryan Swoop, yo, gentlemen. Going on, Ryan. We're gonna jump directly into some Alley talk. Play. You buy Fanatics. Click on the link in the description. And go buy some Flyer stuff. Fanatics is now the NHL's newest distributor of their jersey. So check all that out when the season starts. Should be interesting. And a lot of people are fans. A lot of people aren't fans. But, you know.
What's your take on the new jerseys?
who's that?
Who?
Anybody. What's your...
For me?
I like them.
They remind me of the 90s era.
Yeah, I like that they're going back to the burnt orange. I mean... It's all semantics. It's not going to improve anything, but I like going back to the older style coloring, the with a little bit more of an updated color scheme. You know, it still kind of feels like a new jersey. It doesn't feel like they went real cheap and went right back to like the old 80s, 90s jersey. You know, but they put some money into it. I like it.
Now, does that logo have to be blue on their jersey?
Apparently, I guess there's enough money involved that it has to be blue.
Like, I wouldn't mind if it was like a black or a white, something that goes IBX. Along with the team. like even other teams' colors, like with all their other teams' jerseys, like if they just match the team's colors, it'd be nice. But
yeah, it doesn't make much sense. I guess they're trying to stick out like a sore thumb.
I wonder who's going to be sponsored by Target.
I'm not a big fan. I don't
get laid out. You're not a fan of what, the logos or the jersey?
I don't really care. I mean, it's just, I think a lot of the responses that I heard from some people, I got to kind of agree with is, all right, so let's get some people to wear them and play in them. So, kind of, I mean, it's a nice addition.
It's already a rebuild, though. So, like, what do you want to do? We're going to have like some 13 million in cap or 14 million in cap this year. What do you want to go get Tarasenko? Stop. Just deal with the rebuild. Deal with the rebuild and suck it up.
Yep. Yep. Well, I mean, I don't really see the difference. I mean, I know that there's a slight difference, but it is what it is. I don't really worry about that at a later date. But yeah, so there's a lot of signings. I think that's going to be the first thing that needs to be talked about. They signed Ryan Poling, Rhett Gardner, Garner Hathaway, Mark Stahl, Ronnie Adder, and Victor Mete. And then they just, I think that was this afternoon. What's that, Alexei Kolosov?
That was last night.
So, I think it's a big difference from last year. I don't know what you guys think about the signings. If you want to go.
I think it's going to be fun to watch Garnet Hathaway and Nick Deloria tear up the league. Entertain me. If you're going to suck, at least entertain me.
You got to back that up. I mean, that's definitely true. I'm a big fan of the Hathaway thing.
I hate definitely him back when he was with the Capitals.
I never thought he would ever be a Flyer, but I mean, I guess that's how it is. But I mean, I 100% am on board with it. A very unpopular thought. I still want them to keep Lemieux, but yeah. I guess I don't see that happening. I don't know.
Room for him. Unfortunately, yeah. there's no room for him. You're going to be blocking Tyson Forrester or Bobby Brink or somebody that could play in that spot if you sign a Lemieux. Then we already have a clog up at wing. So right. adding another winger at this point. I like Lemieux. I like what he showed me last year, but that's what you're going to get out of Lemieux. You're not. I'd rather see a kid step in and at least give somebody a shot, like Tyson Forrester. You know.
Well, I wouldn't mind signing Lemieux just for the fact that most likely Sean Couturier is probably not going to start the fucking season. I guarantee he's probably going to have another setback. You know, they're probably keeping it under their hats. What's that?
I haven't personally heard anything about any setbacks, and I prefer not to think that way. But
I know, but it's just a
possibility. You know. But at the same time, what's a Brendan Lemieux going to do if Sean Couturier's out? I'd rather
since we're going to suck.
Yeah, but I'd rather have another kid slide in than Brendan Lemieux.
Like Bobby Brink's probably going to get fucking hurt if he plays in the NHL league at his fucking little height. You know, it is what he's getting banged up down in the Phantoms.
It's a possibility.
I am definitely, if that's who it is that Brendan Lemieux would be blocking, I am just personally terrified of smaller players just for their safety. I mean, I get it.
I think that's why you sign a Garnet Hathaway. So on your third right. line, you can have a smaller winger and a smaller center, but you have Garnet Hathaway out there to keep people a little more honest than if you didn't. Same with like your fourth line, because I think some kids are going to slide in and out of that the fourth line positions. Even with Poling, yeah. he plays a bigger game. What is he, six foot, five eleven, six foot, something around there. And I know he's not huge, but he plays a bigger game. So, and I like the signing of Poling because it gives you a little bit more of I call it Scotty Lawton syndrome, a guy who can slide up and down. He can play on the second if need be. He can play on the fourth. He can play on the third. Like I like signing him, especially in a rebuild. I prefer to sign players who can slide up and down in the lineup. Like, all right, it's not working this night. Let's slide a guy up. Like, and that gives you a little more leeway with the kids as well. If a kid's struggling on the third or the second line, you can side pulling up a bit, and it just works better in terms of chemistry.
Plus, like with all these, with these signings too, they didn't get out of control. A lot of them are one year signings. Poling is 1 year, 1.4. Gardner is 2 years at 775K. Hathaway's 2 years at 2.37 million. The Stahl addition, I was kind of interested in everybody's opinion, because that's another guy that I think could absolutely help the younger kids. They were looking for the one person that was a veteran, and I think they knocked it out of the park, kind of getting him as that player.
I don't mind the Stahl signing. I mean, I was kind of hoping for a little bit more of a better player. I like Stahl, but he's a fringe NHL guy at this point in his career, in my opinion. But as it sits right now, the Flyers have a bunch of fringe NHL players in lineup spots. So what's the difference?
Right. You got him for 1 year, 1.1 mil. I mean,
yeah, and you move him at the deadline.
I guess
that's exactly what's going to happen. Deadline move.
Yeah, you're going to move him at the deadline. He's one of those guys. Somebody loses a vet D on the back end heading into the playoffs. We're heading into that second half of that season, and you move Mark Stahl for a third or a fourth round pick. Voila, you get a third or a fourth round pick. And another, from what I understand, is next year's draft is not as deep as this year's, but it's still got a decent amount of talent in it. So I'll take that all day long.
This year's draft was so exciting. It was unreal.
I loved every bit of it. I loved it. I was sitting there freaking out, and they drafted exactly who I wanted them to draft with the first pick. I could go without the Bonk pick late in the round, but he's grown on me a lot after watching some of his rookie camp videos. He uses his body extremely well, which I think that was a pet peeve of mine with him when I first started seeing him play. He didn't shield the puck, and he didn't use his body to its potential, which is my biggest problem with a guy like Travis Sanheim, is you're that freaking big and you don't use your body at all.
And then, JBR.
Well, he's gone, so it is what it is.
I'm not going to bring some of those comments up.
Didn't Jesse's boy drop down to, what, the second round? Did Buffalo take him?
Buffalo took him. Buffalo has taken all three of my guys for the past three fucking years. That's great.
They can go there. They can go there and rot, just like everybody else's career.
I don't know, man. They're my dark horse team, because all the guys that I want the Flyers to get. Well, not really. I knew Owen Power wasn't going to the Flyers, but
yeah, that was a good one. I was talking about Zach Benson. Did Zach Benson get picked up by Buffalo?
He got picked up by Buffalo. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Late too, like 13th.
Yeah, it was later than I thought. That's what made it so good, though. It wasn't so predictable. Like every year, it's kind of like, okay, we see what's going on. Like, cool, this is a waste of time. But So they also signed Adder 2 years to two way, one way at 1.7 million. And then the random one that I'll be honest, I'm not a big fan of is the 1 year two way 775K of Victor Mete.
Another guy to stick down on the Phantoms and give you some offensive options. I know the Phantoms had issues with their power play for a decent amount of last year. And Mete is a guy who's not an NHL defenseman, in my opinion. But in the AHL, he's perfectly suited for an AHL power play. And I think that works out great for the Phantoms, because I think the Flyers their rebuild is not just for the Flyers. It's also getting the Phantoms into the playoffs and a deep run into the playoffs. Yep. So, I mean, adding a guy like Mete at seven at league minimum, that doesn't mean anything to me. And it gives you a little bit of depth if you run into injury troubles, which it appears the Flyers like to do. You can slide Mete up and have him play on a third pair. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's a league minimum deal. I'm not mad about it.
It's like another Kevin Connaughton.
Yeah, essentially. And they flipped Kevin Connaughton in the Provorov deal. So,
right. And then this afternoon, the Alexei Kolosov to three-year entry level. The cap hit is $925K in total, with a 92.5K signing bonus. So, I mean, they made a lot of moves. I'm really interested to see how that works out, considering what just happened with Fedotov. I have that in a later segment. I don't want to light the world on fire yet. But, yeah, they're making a lot of moves here, and I'm pretty okay with a lot of them. The Kolosov kid, I didn't know too much about him. I heard his name being thrown around every now and then, but everybody was so hung up on Fedotov, you know, I kind of didn't hear it as much as I wanted to, but. Yeah,
he's a good goalie. I hope he comes over.
That's the ringer. That's the ringer. And that's what we got for Alley Talk. We'll move right into a gritty look ahead. Ahead is brought to you by Righteous Felon Beef Jerky. Go to www.righteousfelon.com. Use promo code OCSN for 20% off your jerky contraband. And any orders over $50 is free shipping. So check that out. Yeah, you're new, so like you don't know. You gotta take advantage of the sponsors and shit. It's a pretty good stuff.
A high drop beef jerky comes in handy.
Mm-hmm. It does that. Beef jerky and beer is a big thing here. So I mean, it's kind of the best in the world. You were talking about development camp. That's kind of what I wanted to talk about with this. Was getting a lot of the videos from some of the kids. They all are very, very upbeat this year. Last year, kind of, I mean, now Tyson Forrester and I think it was Elliot Denoyer. They're like, it's weird to see them like adults now. Elliot Denoyer, he's got like a beard going on, and he's just they're just a lot different than they were last year. Obviously, there's one of the year in between, but like the Devin Kaplan, the Oliver Bonk, I know you're just talking about him. I didn't do too much research on him, so I don't know much about him, but heard a lot of things in the media about people really liking him. The one kid that I really liked was Alex Bump. It was just he came out like a bat out of hell. The interview they had, I guess, after camp, the one day, he was just really, really serious. And now I made that – I said something about him on Twitter. Now his family's following us, which is very interesting. But I like the kid. I don't know. He's the one that I'm going to keep my eye on. Any thoughts about any of the other kids, like Emil Andre or any of them?
From what I understand, Emil Andre is actually impressing people pretty well. I don't know. Is he coming over? I don't know if he's coming over.
I think so.
Is he coming over and staying? I didn't know if he had another year left in one of the elite leagues over there.
Yeah. He's a small guy too. He's pretty tiny, but
he plays a big game. He's physical.
He's very physical. That's the one thing everybody was saying about it. I think he was the one that accidentally roughed up Denoyer. He got him hard against the boards or something like that, and he got taken out of camp for like a day or something. He's good to go. But when they interviewed Denoyer, he said obviously, he's not upset about it, but he said he obviously plays a very, very tough game. So I'm on board with him completely. Most of it, Tyson Forrester, he's got to come up. I mean, he's got to. I think it's time.
That wrist shot, NHL ready. He's got one of the best wrist shots I've seen since Jeff Carter on the Flyers.
You think that's a shoo-in? You think he's in this season? Think he comes up?
I don't. The way Allison played last year, Allison needs to really impress in camp to make this roster, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I think Forrester's in my opinion. The way he plays just as hard. He's not as physical, but what you get in offense from him and his wrist shot alone is worth an NHL slot, or at least a look in the beginning of the season. We'll have to see how it plays out in camp and preseason, because we all know we've been impressed with people before and then they look like complete garbage come the next year. So
I've been a huge fan of Allison for a while, and I mean, he's got to stay healthy. that seems to be a real issue, which he acknowledges, which is interesting because he says instead of playing, you know, 150%, he should be playing 110% so he doesn't destroy himself every night. But I mean, I think that's a big deal why he's there. I think Torts does like his play, but it's just the injuries and there needs to be his play needs to increase completely. So I mean, like you said, he definitely has to impress to make the roster.
And his numbers weren't there last year either.
Not at all.
Numbers. I mean that glimpse we got at the end of the 2021 season of Allison, I think we all thought he was going to be a 35-40 point guy. And I don't know what the hell happened to him last year. Maybe torts, or maybe they just didn't mesh, or because he stayed relatively healthy for a Wade Allison season, mind you. He stayed relatively healthy last year. He just didn't produce anything. I mean, it could have been just the lack of team offense. I mean, from the defensive zone out, it was a disaster last year. So,
the last time, I feel like he's just very unlucky with his injuries. One of the games I was at, ended up talking to him afterwards, but he got stepped on by the skate. And literally, you know, I think I still have the picture. It was literally a hole in his wrist. But he went out and played. Like I feel like he plays hurt a lot more than he should be. You know, he should be resting a lot more than he is. So I just think he's very unlucky when it comes to getting being injury prone. But I love his game, but it's you know, the points have to be there, like you said. He's got to produce, and it just, you know, it just might not be there. So I don't know.
You know, he's gonna freaking have a season this year.
Who's that? I mean,
even though the Flyers aren't going to be very good, but Farabee needs to show the hell up this year. Where the hell was he at last year?
But it's always the same story of, oh, it's got, you know, at the end of the playoffs, you find out everybody that was hurt during the playoffs and this and that. At the end of every season, he was hurt from the season before from the surgery that he had and such. I understand that, but it's, I don't know, get healthy, you know. I don't know. Maybe he was slowing down because he was still, you know, hurt, or, you know, maybe he was a little bit, not like afraid, but being a little bit more cautious about the injury. And I don't know. He definitely needs to, because when he's on, I mean, that kid is on. So,
well, if you're hurt, it would be nice. Off the ice. That's what I say all last year.
Having him, those two, having TK and him on fire is something that we're going to absolutely need. And it's possible to happen. It needs to show up.
They really need their center back. You really need a Sean Couturier appearance this year. I mean, if we don't want to be absolute bottom feeders, you need a Sean Couturier appearance. If he doesn't play this year, we're going to be bottom five easy. I mean, I think we're going to be around 5 to 10 anyway, but without Couturier, we're going to be under five. I mean, our defensive core is not very good unless these kids take gigantic steps forward, which I don't see happening. Like, I don't see Cam York being a number one defenseman based on the last two seasons of watching him. I think he's good. I like Cam York, don't get me wrong, but I don't see how he's a number one defenseman. I don't see how Sanheim, again, he had one good season, but he's not good defensively, which is our problem. So yeah,
we need him to be the defenseman.
It's like when you're a defenseman and you're Risto, or it's just not work. You know what I mean? I don't see how it comes together and actually works or anything. Not that any of us are expecting them to surprise us this year, but I would like to be still in games more than out of them.
A nice surprise would be Sanheim getting the fuck off the team. That'd be a nice surprise.
Too late now. He's got a full no trade clause now, and forget about it. He's here to stay.
Well, that ruins my. I have a what was it? One of the segments coming up was going to be Sanheim landing spots, but
he ain't going nowhere.
Last thing I heard was Calgary, and then that just died off. It just dies. It did.
Like everybody else in Calgary.
Yeah, because you have to ask Travis Sanheim if he's willing to waive his no trade clause.
No.
And who the hell wants to go to Calgary?
No one.
Nobody. Calgary literally did nothing this entire offseason.
Well, Sutter's not there anymore. So, I mean, there's that.
That doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, but they were saying like half the team, because they have expiring contracts for this season going into next year, half the guys don't even want to come back.
It's a mess. Calgary's a mess. Buffalo's a mess. These are perennial messes as far as
yeah, but at least Buffalo's on the uptick now. They're fucking.
I've been hearing that for years. I will hold my breath and wait to see Buffalo actually do something. When's the last time they did something? Danny Briere was on their team.
They're looking better. You can't deny they're looking better, but I mean, when
I don't
my
like, dark horse I don't like
the playoffs is Buffalo. So
I don't like I don't like Buffalo's defense.
It's a good story.
I don't think Darlene's that good. I don't think they're good offensive defensemen, but they have the same prop. They have no. They don't actually play defense. And who's their goalie?
Next guy up.
Who's their goalie? So you don't play defense and you have no goalie.
Carter Hart. <That's> a,
Carter Hart. That ain't happening. All right, we can move on then. We'll move on to the woodshed because I want to. Now, most of my segments have literally just been debunked. So, I mean, there they go.
Sorry, I don't. I just moved.
Hey.
I just moved.
Nah. Yeah. Go to www.shamanycreekbrewing.com. Check out all their stuff. Good beer. Yeah, so this is all about the Fedotov and the Michkov thing. So Fedotov signed with Russia again. And I don't know. Obviously, we haven't talked. So what do you guys think? Is it a possibility that Michkov doesn't come over?
I don't think so.
You go.
I think he'll be here, in my personal opinion. He wants to play in the NHL, and the KHL says they're going to honor contracts, and everybody's all up in arms because of the Fedotov deal. But his contract was for 2022-2023, so technically he wasn't contracted for this year. Yes, he signed the contract for last year and then had to go into the military. That's out of our control. So the KHL didn't not honor his contract. His contract was done for the Flyers, technically. They didn't sign him to a 2023-2024 deal. They signed him 2022-2023 to come over. So they didn't not honor the contract. It was up. I think that the relationship Briere is garnering between these KHL teams, I don't think that pick was made unless a conversation took place, in my personal opinion. I don't think they would have picked him if that conversation didn't already take place. And a deal's already there for him to come over when his contract's up, or they buy out his contract of the last year, which is also a possibility because the Flyers have the capital. They will buy, yeah. They will, and that's a deal that could be in place. He could play 2 years there, and then the Flyers will pay that club whatever his contract is to release him. So that's a possibility. That's what I'm hearing. But I don't think, honestly, I do not think that pick was made unless a deal, a handshake agreement, whatever took place. I think he's coming. And I think that people are going to be absolutely astonished when he gets here. He puts up better numbers than Alexander Ovechkin in the KHL.
With 26 games less than Ovechkin. He's only 3 points shy of what Ovechkin was at the same point of their career, and Ovechkin had 26 more games played.
Yep. So points per game is he's a full like quarter of a percent point higher. It's ridiculous. This dude is a superstar. He is an absolute bona fide superstar. Second best player in the draft. If this whole debacle with Russia wasn't taking place, it would have been Bedard, Mikhachev. Like it wouldn't have not even been close.
I think there's always a chance for us to get screwed. But I don't want everyone to get everyone's getting up in arms. I'm just saying, hey, I want him to come over, but I'm also going to keep in mind that like no one know, my main thing is no one knows what's going to be going on in 2026. That being said, if they do what you say they may do, which I think is probably the safest and the best bet to get him stateside sooner, that would be that's the best option possible if they do that. And I'd probably lean towards them probably doing that more than waiting. I mean, what's better with a rebuild than have this kid on there? So, I mean, you know, well, the rebuild will be, I guess, what, halfway done by then?
Yeah, pretty much. So you're adding, you are literally adding the possibility of a 60 to 80 point guy on a league minimum $925,000 contract.
Right.
Like, you cannot get a better scenario of rebuild than adding a bona fide superstar for league minimum for 3 years. Like, that's absurd. You are literally adding Kaprizov to your lineup. Like, you can't go wrong with that.
Well, he also, during the draft, I don't know which side these guys were on, but they had a representative from St. Petersburg of his hockey club was there in attendance with him, probably to discuss future deals like you brought up before. I forgot to bring that up.
Yeah, but also what people don't take into consideration is he visited with the Flyers on the low key, flew in, and his representatives for St. Petersburg were there.
Yep.
So you're having a conversation with a player that you are thinking about drafting with the team representatives there. Would anybody in their right mind, if the team representative was like, he's never coming over, would you in your right mind sign the guy? Absolutely not, dude. There's a deal in place. I don't know what it is because I'm not on the inside like that, but there's a deal in place. He will be playing in a Flyers uniform at some point in the next 3 years.
Suck it, Jesse Bittler.
Hey, look, there were so many scenarios that me, you, and Anthony last year put together when Fedotov was the high commodity. And you know, when that happened, it was just like, what the hell? But like, that's I guess that's why you don't put all your eggs in one basket. And, you know,
but now looking back on it, now that we know that most like other countries, you have to put in a certain amount of time with the military branch. And I believe he already had the paper signed for him to do that. Yes.
Right. Well, that's why. So that I'm not obviously not going to name drop because, you know, trying to change our ways around here. A lot of people that I've been seeing on Facebook have been saying, Russia did us dirty, blah, 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 blah. But technically, I mean, he was supposed to serve his time. So it's not, you know, the whole thing is on Fedotov. It's not against the Russian government. I mean, it sucks out. I mean, the video did not do anyone any justice. That looked like straight out of the movie Taken. Yeah. It was just not a good look whatsoever. But I mean, they take things seriously over there. So, I mean, I don't think, Kyle, both of you, do you think you ever see Fedotov? Is he just done?
I don't know. I don't know when our rights run out for him because they signed him to an entry level. Well, not an entry level. Well, it was considered an entry level, but it was only a 1 year deal, right?
I'm gonna find out.
Usually they're 3 year deals when they're entry level, but
yeah, but I think it's because of his age. So you don't fall into that 3 year deal. You can sign the one because you're faster to RFA and UFA. So if you sign a guy at 21 or 22, you can only sign him to the one.
They got him in 2015's draft.
Yeah, so he's older. That's why I'm saying they didn't actually void his contract. His contract wasn't in effect anymore. It was for the 2022-2023.
Well, you could draft somebody, and I think you have a certain amount of time to sign them to a contract.
And that's what I'm thinking I'm worried about is now that he's got another 2 years, I'm pretty sure our rights run out.
Right.
To him, and he's probably going to stay in Russia at that point.
Yeah.
Which is why we signed that kid yesterday.
Kolosov.
Who is a legitimate goalie prospect.
I'm going to be naming
him close. This isn't anybody to blow your nose at. This is a legitimate goalie prospect here.
Yeah, I got him pulled up right now.
The kid that we drafted too.
I don't remember his name. I'm sorry. the guy was the guy in the third round, I think.
Yeah. The highlights another, of him was another.
Yes, game. Another highly touted goalie. But he's at least in the queue. We ain't got to worry about him not coming over.
I do remember that when we were. I think he's 17 years old. I looked at him the day after the first round, or the third round. I don't know. I mean, I like to get in the goalies thing. I mean, that's just, I mean, we need, it hasn't really worked out too well with us when it comes to like Sandstrom. It just can't get over the hump. I mean, I was a huge fan of Alex Lyon when he was down there, but at the same time, he's being thrown around all over the place at this point. But yeah, I mean, but we need goalies.
He played pretty good for Carolina for our short.
But now it's Detroit. He's the backup because they just traded, They're starting. Oh no, they're backup goalie. They still have Villahuso as their starter, but
yeah. Alex Lyon is who he is. He's a fringe backup goalie for the NHL. Will he have good stretches? Yes. Will he be consistently good? Starting goalie? No. That's Alex Lyon. I like Alex Lyon. No. But he is what he is. He's an AHL goalie.
Yeah. Whoa. You know Sam Wisner's hearing this right now. Just want to hear that.
But he won a Calder Cup, so that's where he belongs.
He still has the most saves in, what was it, AHL history or something like that?
Yeah.
In one game, it was like 90-some saves.
Yeah, it was with the Phantoms, right? It was like four overtime or five overtime game.
Something like that. No, 94. Yeah, he's their best defenseman. All right, I got one more thing for you guys. Well, actually, I could do one more. We haven't heard this from Kyle, so we can do the beaut of the week here. Beaut of the week is brought to you by Outlaw Beer. Kyle, I will get it to you. Everybody needs to have this. Wade doesn't drink anymore. It's the best light beer on the market. I'm sorry. It's amazing. But yeah, so we do this thing, Beaut of the Week, every week. Who do you think is obviously the star player of the week? Usually get three of them. We haven't heard from you, so we would do last season. Who do you think is the most improved player of last season?
Last season?
Yeah, we haven't done anything yet. Pick three. You can make it easier for you. Pick three.
That is kind of impossible. But I would say our 30-something goal scorer, Travis Konecny, improved the most from year to year. He finally hit the 30-goal mark. Everybody's been calling him a 30-goal scorer for years and years and years. Well, now you can.
Yep. I've always liked Konecny. I was not a fan of even the rumors of him getting traded somewhere. I do understand the return. But I just can't see. I don't think Philadelphia is done with Travis Konecny yet. That's just personally me. So, I do wish that Sanheim would get moved, for the love of God. I don't want TDA to move, but
I do. I'm in full rebuild mode. If you're going to take my player, I'm perfectly okay with it. Take him. I don't care.
The only thing that I like about it is what the return is supposed to be, that Rizzo kid.
Yeah.
And that's,
another kid.
That's
another prospect.
He's looking pretty good. I looked him up this morning, too. I'm all for that, but I just like the way he played. I mean, he was just a kind of an asshole.
So, nutshell, that the trade for TDA would be the Rizzo kid, and we gave up 2 third rounds, 1 second round, ghost, basically all for this prospect.
Yeah, but see, it's hard. It's really hard. This is the problem I have with that line of thinking, is that's Chuck Fletcher. Was it dog shit? Yes. It was crap moves. It was terrible. The dude was trying to save face. He never recovered from Niskanen saying, I'm done playing. which is terrible for a GM. We're under a new management system right now. I mean, I cannot base any judgments from past years and past management systems. They stop when Chuck Fletcher leaves. Are they terrible moves? Yes, we all agree they were terrible moves, but I can't keep thinking about it and can't keep talking about it because that's not it now. That's not it now. So far, Briere has been phenomenal with player movement. I mean, obviously, we all wanted to see Sanheim get moved, but there was another player that had the ability to veto that trade, and it got vetoed. It is what it is. Would I like to have seen a little more than a 6-round pick for Kevin Hayes? Yes, but you know what I wanted to see more? Kevin Hayes not on my freaking team anymore. I didn't want to see that bum on my team anymore. I didn't want to watch him anymore. The guy doesn't hit. He doesn't play hard. He floats around the ice 3/4 of the shifts. So I'd rather see him gone and get something in return than have to pay him the full amount of his contract for the next 3 years.
My daughter cried when he got traded. Okay.
Sorry for your daughter, but bye-bye. Yeah.
Do you think the Rizzo kid, if this trade does go through, Rizzo will outplay or outproduce TDA?
Maybe not next year, but hopefully in future.
Massimo.
Because that's the only thing I could rebuttal that if we can't.
In the future, yeah, but you're trading a defenseman that's what?
I thought we only got the Rizzo kid's rights. So technically that kid potentially could hold out and not sign with the Flyers.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's a sign and trade before we get the details. I wouldn't assume that it's just going to be his RFA rights. I think that would most likely be a sign his whatever deal with Carolina before the trade goes through. And then we get whatever contract was signed.
I think apparently we're supposed to keep half of TDA's contract, which isn't high.
Yep. And it's only 1 year, so.
Yeah.
Well, that kid's a University of Denver.
So he can't. Yeah.
What's that?
He can't be signed until he agrees to leave college.
Yeah. He's in his second year. I know this will be his third year coming up.
Yeah, so it might be. It's not going to be a sign and trade. Then it'll probably be a end of the season sign, leave college and play.
17 goals, 8 assists, 46 points, plus minus 24 in 38 games played last year.
How does 17 plus 8 equal 46?
I don't know.
Are they counting his playoff points too? That's the only thing.
I'm not a mathematician or nothing, but that didn't add up.
17 goals, 29 assists.
There you go.
Points. Sorry, I read it wrong. I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. I don't know. If he gay, I understand that people don't want TD on the team anymore. But does that mean you want what's his name? Ristolainen.
What about him? He's untradeable at this point with that contract.
Are you a fan of him on the defense? Or do you think he's kind of?
I'm indifferent to him. You're going to have some vets on the defense that get paid a little more than they're worth to have an NHL core of defensemen. I mean, it's like it's a catch-22. He's going to be here. And again, that wasn't Danny Briere. Danny Briere would have fucking traded him. And that was Chuck Fletcher. And now Danny Breer's got to sweep up the mess. And it's unfortunate, but he doesn't necessarily kill your team. We're not competing for the Stanley Cup next year. So who really cares? I'd rather have the physical presence on the back end than not have it.
I'm a Risto fan. I like him. Just for the simple fact that it doesn't matter. I mean, he's not going anywhere, so.
You need somebody to clear that fucking porch.
Yeah.
Cam York ain't going to be able to do it.
And neither is Travis Sanheim, so.
The only time I see Sanheim getting nasty is against Giroux, when Giroux first played against us when he was with Ottawa.
I have never seen Travis Sanheim get nasty. He got beat up by Nathan Gerby.
Yeah, I forgot about that. The old Gerb. Yeah, unless you guys have anything else, you guys are going to touch on anything else, we can wrap this bad boy up.
Now, I mean, what do you guys foresee the lineup, if you had to take a guess, looking like in terms of first line, second line, third line? I mean, we all know what the fourth line is going to look like. Poling, Delorier, and one of the kids, or Hathaway.
I mean, for me, I almost can't even respond to that. It depends on if Cam Atkinson, and I do think that Couturier is gonna. I think he's gonna play. That's why Torts kind of put him up on the shelf for the season, the end of last season. I don't know about Atkinson. I mean, if Atkinson plays, I mean, I definitely want him on like the first or second line. I mean, I don't know.
I want Tippett on my first line. The way Tippett played last year, I want Tippett on my first line right wing.
Yep. I mean, Couturier's got to be on the first line as well. I mean, it just really depends on what you're going to do with these other some of these guys that you sign. I mean, I feel like we have a lot of like not first and second line players now that we just picked up. But I mean, so it's kind of more like, what do those lines look like? I mean, I wouldn't even be able to say anything. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting would be my answer. I wouldn't know what to say. Not a way. What do you got?
I'm writing down right now. I'm making my line now. It helps me to remember who's still on the fucking team anymore.
I mean, because like, yeah, I mean, you got TK. You got
my first line would be TK left wing, Coots center, and Owen Tippett on the righty. That would be my first line.
And obviously Frost is going to have to slide into that second line center spot.
The second spot, I would put Scott Laughton in the center, Frost on either left or right wing, and then that's where I draw a blank because I don't know.
It has to depend on what happens after Kane. Well,
assume Atkinson's playing. He's going to be your right winger on that line, I assume.
Atkinson? Oh, yeah. Unless his neck's broke again.
And then, well, the only thing I would change there is I want Frost at center because he creates.
Didn't they have to sign him?
They still have to sign him.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that.
They still have to sign him. Who else did they have to sign?
Kate's just went
over. Yeah, Kate's would have been on my third center.
That's what I'm saying. There's so many of these guys.
He did good that last year on that line.
Yeah, he plays very well defensively. You're not going to get much offense from those guys, but that's not what the third line's supposed to be for.
Yeah,
I mean, both Kate's brothers on that third line.
I don't know if he's going to make his way up. I mean, I don't think he's there yet.
I don't think he's going to be there.
And then, I mean, you got to make room for Tyson Forrester.
He's going to be a third line right wing.
Yeah. So, I mean,
your second line, my second line's Farabee, Frost, Atkinson, if Atkinson plays. My third line is going to be Cates at center, left wing, Laughton, right wing, Forrester, or Allison. And your fourth line is going to be Poling, Delorier, and Hathaway.
It's got to be that. It has to be that. I mean,
what a fourth line, though. I mean, that's going to be entertaining the shit to watch.
Yeah, I honestly am one of the happiest things that they did was get Hathaway, in my opinion. I just it's absolute grit. It's going to be amazing to watch, like you're saying. So I think that's something I'm going to have to write down, like he said, because there's so many. I forgot to even add Farabee in there. And then with the Allison and the I would say the battle with Allison and Forrester. I mean, at this point right now, I would let it be Forrester. I mean,
that's the beauty of camp, though. That's what camp shows you. Camp in preseason is the battle. Like, we can speculate all we want, but guess what? Allison can show up to preseason, beast it out, and then freaking score 10 goals in the four preseason or five preseason games he has. We don't know how it's going to work.
Then I really didn't see how many
for the defense. We got probably going to look like
dumpster on top of a dumpster on top of a dumpster. That's what our defense is going to look like.
Probably going to have Cam York starting with Sanheim pairing.
No, because Sanheim and Cam York both played left side.
Time to buck up and play fucking both sides if you're getting paid. It's fucking seven, almost $8 million. Risto and TDA until TDA is technically moved. And then I saw reports that Stahl was going to be the bottom six anchor with whoever's going to be the revolving sixth, seventh defenseman.
Yeah, I assume Attard's going to make a good push for this team. And I wouldn't be surprised if I even seen Zamula's name get thrown in the hat here. It all depends on their camps. It really does depend on their camps and what they do. I think Zamula has the skill set to be an NHL defenseman probably this season. So does Attard.
I forgot about Walker.
There's that other guy thrown into the mix, Walker.
Well, that's why you can't count TDA because he's gone.
Yeah.
He's as good as gone. So
I forgot about Farabee.
Taylor said York, Risto, Sanheim, Walker, still added.
Yeah, I'm looking in the comments and I'm like, yeah, I forgot about him.
Yeah,
well, it's because he was so invisible last year. That's why.
I actually I agree with Scott on this one. I think York starts out as your first pairing left defenseman with Risto. I think they might work well together. Whether or not it's Sanheim and not York, I think you want to spread that talent out a little bit. You don't want it too top heavy. But I think that's probably your closest. I think York's going to slide as the season progresses. I think he's going to slide down and then probably back up at some point. And once he gets his bearings a little bit more at the NHL level, I know that he played some sheltered minutes last year. They didn't really put him in the most difficult of situations. He did perform well, but I think this year is going to be a real test for York because he's going to be in those defensive zone start situations where you're against their top line and you got to get the puck out. And if you don't get the puck out, you are going to be on that third pairing. Like, it just is what it is.
Well, he has to survive fucking camp with Tortorella for a season. So Tortorella might just put him on the third pairing just because he's in one of the newer age group, not tenure-wise, members on the roster.
I think our defense is going to be much more fluid than our forward group this year. I think they're going to try a lot. I think it's going to be a lot of trial and error with the defensive core. I don't know. I don't think Scott just said Ginning. I don't think Ginning is ready for the NHL at all. But
he had a good camp.
What?
Against kids. Yeah. Well, I'm not sold on Zamula either. I just said that in terms of pure raw talent, who could put it together at the NHL level?
Zamula
has
too.
He has the skill set. But if he can put it together, he's an NHL defenseman.
That's right.
But
don't forget about Nick Seeler.
Yep, I definitely did.
Forget about Nick Seeler.
Screw Nick Seeler. Although I do the fights, but he overperformed last year by a long shot.
Yeah, he did. We were talking about that the other week. He came out of nowhere, started playing hockey.
He overperformed.
He's like, well, Provis isn't probably going to be here next year. Let's show them what I got.
Well, he signed that 2-year deal, so he knew he was going to be here.
Yeah.
randomly dangling around.
Like, watch this. Interesting.
Yeah, with that, unless you have something else, like I said, we could wrap her up.
Who do you think is going to be battling for the backup goalie position?
I don't know. It's going to be tough because if this kid comes, he's not coming over, right? He's finishing his contract one more year with his Russian team before he comes over. I don't know. I think that's so freaking fluid. It's not even funny. I mean, I'd like to see Ersin actually try like give him a shot, but instead at the same time, Sandstrom's there, and I don't think we're really going to be overly concerned about
what Sandstrom did.
Yeah, well, they both of them, all of them. But again, it's you're not setting. This is the problem I have with trying to judge goalies during this time: is how are you supposed to judge a goalie when he's facing 40 plus shots a night?
And yep. with a revolving door of defensemen on different yes, pairings.
Exactly. It's going to be a crap show. I mean, it's impossible to judge. I mean, I hope Carter Hart actually has a high-quality season this year just to shut up the naysayers. I hope he does. Will that come to fruition? I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
stats-wise, apparently last year he was, I think they said a 912 or a 915 save percentage, which was – I mean, it's only 0.5 higher than the year before, but give a take in on where we ended up on the draft lottery at the end of the year.
That's right. I totally forgot about Pettersson. Yeah, there's your backup goalie. We got a guy, we're paying freaking $5 million a year.
Yeah, that guy. Hey, the water buy.
We're paying him $5 million a year.
Yep.
Why? He's
almost paid as much as Carter Hart.
Because it wasn't us who signed the contract, and in order to get what we wanted for Provorov, we had to take him.
Oh, my God, dude. He's going to AHL. No. I mean, he's not that. I mean, we looked at I forget what his
– I thought it was Pettersson that helped carry the team, the Kings –
in the playoffs,
just to get to the playoffs, and then it was that other goalie that they picked up at the trade deadline.
No, I don't think so. I think Pettersson got shoved into the minors so fast this year, your head will spin. Oh, that's how bad he was playing.
Yeah, that's what I asked Sam about it. I asked Sam Wismer about it, and she said that unfortunately he couldn't get past the AHL hump. So, I mean, I hope he's not. The backup tandem should be Hart Ersson. Ersson didn't have too much of a showcase last year, but when he did, he performed. He did like what was it, 7-7? He was a 7-0 for a while there. And he's a good goal. He did well down in the AHL for a little bit, but
it's all how it's going to shake out, man.
It's got to kind of. It can't be. Yeah. We'll see. But with that being said, if we wrap this up, make sure everyone goes on Facebook and likes us on Flyers Alley, Twitter at Flyers Alley Pod 1, Instagram at Flyers Alley. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page. And I don't know when we will be back. Probably not anytime soon. But if something else happens, you know, we'll come back. So that's Flyers Alley. Talk to you guys later.